then disappeared down a hole in the far wall. At about this time, a hitherto unsuccessful fortune-teller, living on the other side of the block, chanced to glance into her scrying bowl, gave a small scream, and within the hour had sold her jewellery, various magical accoutrements, most of her clothes, and almost all her other possessions that could not be conveniently carried on the fastest horse she could buy. The fact that later on, when her horse collapsed in flames, she herself died in a freak landslide in the Moorpork Mountains, proves that death, too, has a sense of humour. Also, at about the same moment as the homing rat disappeared into the maze of runs under the city, scurrying along in faultless obedience to an ancient instinct, the patrician of Ankh-Morpork picked up the letters delivered that morning by Albatross. He looked pensively at the topmost one again, and summoned his chief of spies. And in the broken drum, Rincewind was listening open-mouthed as Twoflower talked.
"So I decided to see for myself," the little man was saying. 8 years saving up this has cost me, but worth every half rhino. I mean, here I am, in Ankh-Morpork, famed in song and story, I mean. In the streets that have known the tread of Herrick Whiteblade, Harun the Barbarian, and Braved the Hublander, and the Weasel. It's all just like I imagined, you know."
Rincewind's face was a mask of fascinated horror.
"I just couldn't stand it any more back in Bess Pelagic," Twoflower went on blithely. "Sitting at a desk all day, just adding up columns of figures, just a pension to look forward to at the end of it. Where's the romance in that? Twoflower, I thought, it's now or never. You don't just have to listen to stories, you can go there. Now's the time to stop hanging around the docks listening to sailors' tales, so I compiled a phrase book and bought a passage on the next ship to the Brown Islands."
"No guards?" murmured Rincewind.
"No. Why? What have I got that's worth stealing?"
Rincewind coughed. "You have, gold," he said.
"Oh, barely 2,000 rhino. Hardly enough to keep a man alive for more than a month or two. At home, that is. I imagine they might stretch a bit further here."
"Would a rhino be one of those big gold coins?" said Rincewind.
"Yes."
Twoflower looked worriedly at the wizard over the top of his strange seeing lenses.
"Will 2,000 be sufficient, do you think?"
Yeah, croaked Rincewind. "I mean, yes, sufficient."
"Good.
Is everyone in the Agatian Empire as rich as you?"
"Me? Rich? Bless you, whatever put that idea into your head? I am but a poor clerk. Did I pay the innkeeper too much, do you think?"
Twoflower added. He might have settled for less," Rincewind conceded.
"Ah, I shall know better next time. I can see I have a lot to learn. An idea occurs to me, Rincewind. Would you perhaps consent to be employed as a, I don't know, perhaps the word guide would fit the circumstances? I think I could afford to pay you a rhino a day."
Rincewind opened his mouth to reply, but felt the words huddle together in his throat, reluctant to emerge in a world that was rapidly going mad. Twoflower blushed.
"I have offended you," he said. "It was an impertinent request to make of a professional man such as yourself. Doubtless you have many projects you wish to return to. Some works of high magic, no doubt."
"No," said Rincewind faintly, "not just at present. A rhino, you say, one a day, every day?"
"I think perhaps in the circumstances I should make it 1.5 rhino per day, plus any out-of-pocket expenses, of course."
The wizard rallied magnificently. "That will be fine," he said.
"Great."
Twoflower reached into his pouch and took out a large round gold object, glanced at it for a moment, and slipped it back. Rincewind didn't get a chance to see it properly.
"I think," said the tourist, "that I would like a little rest now. It was a long crossing. And then perhaps you would care to call back at noon, and we can take a look at the city."
"Sure."
"Then please be good enough to ask the innkeeper to show me to my room."
Rincewind did so, and watched the nervous broadman, who had arrived at a gallop from some back room, lead the way up the wooden steps behind the bar. After a few seconds, the luggage got up and pattered across the floor after them.